Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. And thank you for tuning in. And this series is on part six because I can't seem to get finished with it. And I'm just going to make an announcement. I am under no pressure to finish today. It's okay. It's okay. It's just okay. And if you want to listen faster, that's between you and the Lord. But I am, you know, this is, and I'm just saying, this is not about information education. This is spiritual reality that He's worked in my life. And I want to tell you, when you focus on Jesus in the Word, and you hear messages that point to Jesus, I want to tell you, it brings revelation. Education's good. We're not against education. We're for education. But I want to tell you, a greater emphasis in church life should be revelation. It's you seeing Jesus. Because I want to tell you, the Jesus that you see in this Word is the same Jesus that dwells in you, that wants to multiply the kingdom of God in and through your life. And so, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a thank you for His Word. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay. Now, I meet with people every week, minister to people. It's so exciting to see Jesus touch and change lives. And I sometimes I know ahead of time. Sometimes I don't know the next conference of what I'm going to be dealing with. But the Lord already knows. And for me to say that Jesus is the answer sounds so simple, you know. But I want to tell you, it's so true. And I don't know what season of life you're in. You may be asking yourself, well, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I arrived in this place in life. And I don't know what to do now. Well, welcome to real human living. Now, the great news is that God has an answer. He wants to be the GPS in your life, and He wants to move you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And where He wants you to be, I want to tell you, you have a God that has your best interest in mind. So today you can say, I want to hear all that the Lord wants to say to me, because I want to go where He wants me to go and be where He wants me to be. Now, I know, because the reality of journey in this life, there are people that say, you know what, I'm in a mess, and I don't even know what healing looks like for me. Can't even fathom. I don't know what restoration looks like, because the pit is pretty deep. I don't know what breakthrough looks like, because it seems like I've been bound, okay, in chains, are repeating the same cycle around the same mountain over and over again, and I don't even know what breakthrough looks like. Now look, I get to minister in different churches of different titles, and I love pastors, I love shepherds, I love sheep. I don't care what the tag or title is. Well, you know, let's just face it, the Lord does too. And so here's the deal. Sometimes when I'm giving a testimony or something to a pastor or a shepherd or a church, they'll let me know, you know, I don't think, and I've had pastors look me straight in the eye and say, I don't think miracles are necessary anymore. And I'll say, okay, you know, it don't offend me. You know, we don't have to see eye to eye and cross every T. I promise you, and I say this to different churches, that there's a whole lot more that we agree on than we would disagree on. But we have a little theme that's been a part of my life for decades, and it goes something like this. We major on the major, and we minor on the minor. And essentials, unity. Non-essentials, liberty. And all things, charity. Okay? And I want to tell you, that covers a lot. And so I never ask someone to change their particular points of view. I sometimes say this. There's a difference in our life. There should be a difference in our life between a conviction and a preference. A conviction is something you're willing to die for. A preference is something that you really like versus something else. And so there's a difference there. But I want to tell you, it's very, very important that we understand. And sometimes, like I said, pastors will tell me, you know, we don't need miracles anymore. And I'll say, well, why not? And they'll say, well, we have the Bible. I say, well, thank God for the Word of God. And so I agree quickly on that. Thank God for the Bible, for the Word of God. But let's be honest, and sometimes I share this, that you know what? Jesus was the walking Word of God, and miracles took place around Him. He needed miracles. Bible says to confirm His words, to confirm the message that was from God, to confirm the authority that was from God. You understand? To release the love of Father, because a miracle is nothing more than the manifested love of God showing up in your life at the very time you need it. It's the Lord loving on you. It's the Lord confirming to you, He loves you. He got you. It's the Lord confirming to you that He has authority over this world. What He wants is a greater priority for you than what this world has to say. He's not limited by the world's standards. Okay, that ought to encourage somebody. And let me say, there's been a number over the years of, and I'm using the term pastors because I work with pastors, but this is true for all believers, is that, you know, you may not think that you need a miracle until you need one. I've had some say, you know, hey, that ain't for me, ain't for us, it's unnecessary. But then I get that phone call, Pastor, can you come see us? We need a miracle. I want to tell you something real simple, and I don't throw stones anywhere. You know, if you can get a good drink of water somewhere, we celebrate Jesus. And there's a lot of places you get a good drink of water. But I am saying this, is that, you know, let's be straightforward here, that you know what? The Lord loves to love on you in ways that are bigger than your little mind. And so I'm encouraging the body of Christ, don't put God in a box. Don't limit the Lord. You don't say to your mate, well, you can love on me in this way, bacon, eggs, and toast. The rest of it, I'm not interested in. You don't limit the Lord. It's a love life journey. And the Lord has ways of loving you. And He's the creator. He's very creative. And He can love you in ways that you can't even imagine. His love is bigger than your mind. And so I'm just saying, in the name of Jesus, I renounce small-mindedness. I renounce anything from a tradition or a religion or from the world that would say no to God. We need to say yes to the Lord. And so I've had them call up and say, well, we need a miracle. I'll give you a little example. I was preaching in a small town south of here is all I'm going to say. And I started on a Sunday night. I was doing a revival. So I was there all week. And on Sunday night, as I was preaching, the pastor's daughter was a little girl. I'm going to say maybe 4 years old. I'm saying that because I got granddaughters that age, and I'm trying to remember. I think she was about that age. And everything was fine until the preaching started. But when I started preaching, she began to scream, this terror scream. I mean, it's terrorizing. And she began to say things that were just very unfit for anybody in church. And they were trying to, you know, wrestle her and everything, and they eventually would have to walk her out of the building and everything. And so that night after church, pastor has me over to the house, you know, and we're having a nice meal and visiting. And I said, can you explain to me what happened with daughter here? He said, brother, we're embarrassed about it. We don't know what to do about it, but that happens every time the Word of God starts being preached. I said, wait, I said, nobody's been able to. He said, no, there's nothing we can do. We've tried everything. I said, Jesus has an answer for that. And I said, do you mind if I pray for her? And when I prayed for her, listen to me now. When I prayed for her, I took authority. You see, we have authority in Christ. A lot of believers don't know that. See, we're going to teach you that here. That you have authority over your home. Okay? You have authority over your life that comes from Christ. Not your own self-will, or momentum, self-confidence, but confidence in Christ. But he gives us authority through the Word of God. Spiritual authority. You have spiritual authority to resist the enemy. He's counted you as a winner, as a victor. And so when I prayed over this little girl and took authority and just commanded that this darkness leave, real simple prayer, not anything super duper nothing. And when I prayed over her, there was a little response, but afterwards she looked up at me and she said, wow. She said, he left and he was mad. Now, I want to tell you, this is out of the mouth of a four-year-old. She didn't have the theology to understand anything. She just knew that there was a power of darkness that was manifesting against her, against her family, against her church. And when someone prayed with authority, that, you know what, that left, and she was free. And the evidence of it was the next night, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night. She was full of peace and full of joy. And the pastor gave testimony in front of the church. He said, look, I'm going to tell you what I didn't believe in. I just got to say, I saw Jesus touch my daughter. Now, you know what? That's what you want. Okay? He said, matter of fact, he told me, and he told the church, you know, my theology kind of changed this week. That's okay. That's all right. You know what we want? We want you to get to know Jesus better. Okay, and I'm telling you, don't leave Jesus at the church. Don't leave Jesus in the pages. He wants to be actively involved in your life, and he loves to restore anything that the enemy has stolen. You know I've said that a few times. Okay, and so listen, do we need the power of God? Yes. We live in a time where we need the power of God in a big time way. In your own life, in your family, in your church, in your business, in the world needs to see the power of God. Do we need miracles? Well, you better believe it. The early church needed them. And I know there's people that would raise their hand and say, well, look, that all died when they died. No, apparently not. Because I want to tell you something. It's just like Jesus to love his people enough to show himself mighty in their behalf. And he continues to do that. We've seen that here a number of ways, a number of times. The Lord's not finished. As a matter of fact, the last days church needs the power of God in a greater way than any age church. Okay? As darkness increases, the light increases in great measure. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Somebody say superabounds. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to get to that, not today, but I'm going to get to that too. But that's very, very exciting, okay? And you know what? Let me just put it real simple. He's a supernatural God. He wants to manifest his power through his people. He wants to manifest his power through his church, the bride. And he wants a supernatural church to present a real Jesus, okay? A supernatural Jesus to the natural world. And I want to tell you, I think we're going to see that here in the last days. I say get your get your boots on and get ready, because I think this is going to be exciting, all right? And you get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of the last days generation. How exciting it is. Okay, now listen, Paul ministered this way. And apparently he wasn't the best of natural speakers. Might have even been considered a little boring from some people, for people to fall asleep on him. I don't criticize him because I have people go into some slow meditation while I'm speaking, so I don't go there. But listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 2:4 and see where he points to for the success of his ministry. Let me just ask a question. Do you want the world to see your ministry? Or do you want the world to see the Jesus ministry in you? I want to tell you, I don't want my ministry. The world wasn't impressed with my ministry, but I want to see Jesus' ministry. Don't you? Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit's all about that. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my language, this is Paul speaking, my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom. This is out of the Amplified to bring out those words out of the Greek, out of the language it was written in. It's so descriptive. And so I want you to try to catch everything. And so he didn't come with those sweet, plausible, enticing words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Look how the Amplified brings this out. A proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them. And so it was not by his intelligence, or it wasn't by his persuasiveness of speech, but it was by the power of the Spirit. Power to convince people that, you know what, this is I hear Paul, but this is the Lord speaking to me. Also, that the Word of God, the words coming, were words that exalted Jesus to touch people's minds and to set people free in their minds. Now, I want to tell you, that's important because that's where strongholds are. They're in the minds. All right, so there's a whole lot for us to enjoy about this. Let's look at this. 1 John 2, 27. And, oh, did I skip something? Am I out of order? I think the first lady is going to. Oh, yeah, okay, let's cover that too. Thank you. All right, let's look at Acts 5:12. And so, when Jesus left, before he left, he told his disciples, he said, look, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another one just like me that will never leave you nor forsake you, that'll be with you 24/7. And so it's actually an advantage that we have even over the people that were walking around with Jesus. We have an advantage over them because we have Jesus in us, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in us, 24/7, 357, or 356, 365. Well, all year long. Y'all see why I need help. God bless you as you listen. And so, listen, Acts 5:12. Now, look at the advantage. Jesus was gone, but the Holy Spirit was there manifesting through the apostles. By the hands of the apostles, numerous and startling signs and wonders were being performed among the people. There were miracles happening. Why? To confirm the Word of God, to confirm the authority of God, that the love of the Lord would be manifested in people's lives because He cares. And so 1 John 2:27, and we know it just wasn't with the apostles because we've talked about in this series how that Stephen, wait a minute, he was just a deacon. What about Philip? Well, wait a minute, he was just a deacon. No, I want to tell you, there was great power and love flow through Stephen and Philip in the same way as the apostles. I want to tell you, those were servants. Are there any servants of the living God in the house? Then I want to tell you, if the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you, and He does if you've received Christ, then I want to tell you, the power of God dwells in you. 1 John 2:27. But as for you, now, look, when you see the word you in this scripture, I want you to say your name to yourself. Don't say it out loud. Don't hinder me from preaching. But as for you, the anointing. Now, remember, I don't know if you remember. If you haven't heard all this series, you need to go back. But I'm telling you, the anointing is not an experience. It's a person. And a person can manifest experience to you. It's just like we describe grace. Grace is not some invisible topic up there. Grace is spelled J-E-S-U-S. It's a manifestation of Jesus. It's what He's like and how He loves on us. But the anointing is a person, is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Jesus said, one just like me. The sacred appointment and the unction. See, it's called different names here. which you received from him abides permanently in you. You say, well, I messed up yesterday. He still abides in you. You say, well, I denied him like Peter. He still abides in you. Is anybody getting the idea? Permanently. That ought to give somebody some yay. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. And so what I'm saying to you is this, is that the Holy Spirit will give you a yay or nay. He will give you direction. He's your GPS. The Bible says that he's your umpire. Hey, the umpire, your coach, will tell you yay or nay, or where to go, where not to go, what to do, and how to do it, if you listen to him. If you don't listen to your coach, if you don't listen to your umpire, you don't receive it. But I'm telling you, he's there, he's present, very present, help in time of trouble. He wants to help you. Anybody interested in this? And so for a Christian to come to me, and they do, and say, and if you do, it's okay, I love you. But for come to me and say, I don't know what to do, I don't know how I got here, I don't know what to do, I just don't, somebody need to tell me, I want to tell you, he's in you. And he wants to speak to you. Let me be clear. Anything he says to you will be backed up by the Word of God. If it's not backed up by the Word of God, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's going to speak out of his nature and out of his character. And he's going to say what he says in the Word will be backed up with what he says to you personally. And so really and truly, I'm telling you, if you have a hard heart, you are hard of hearing. I was at Disney World with my boys years ago, and how people can be on the human happiest place on earth and fuss and fight, I don't know. But I was observing some fussing and fighting taking place, and a mama grabbed a little fella. She said, I'm going to take you back to the motel room, and I'm going to clean your ears out. You know, boy, I'm just so glad she didn't come around me, okay? But I was kind of enjoying it, which wasn't really right, but I'm just telling you, Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's what needs to happen with a lot of my people. We need our ears cleared out so we can hear the whisper of his voice. Do you hear the whisper of his voice? Do you hear him call your name? Because I'm telling you, the Lord loves you personally, and he wants to love on you, and he wants to give you guidance. But he will instruct you. Just as his anointing, who's that? The Holy Spirit teaches you concerning everything and is true and not falsehood. I want to tell you, there's a lot of words out there, a lot of voices, a lot of messages, and the Holy Spirit will give you a clear yay or nay on them. And I want to tell you, if you're watching something or listening to someone and you're getting a nay from the Holy Spirit on the inside, cut it off. How smart can you be and still breathe? You know, I wanted to say something else. Okay. I'm telling you, he loves to do that. But if you're not hearing well, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to soften your heart. If your heart's hard, your heart can be tenderized by the Spirit of God, where you can hear, because Jesus said it's your birthright. He said, my sheep know my voice. I'm so thankful. You see, it's just simple in this. And so you must, but here's how to hear. Here's how to receive of him, and here's how to receive of his anointing. Here it is. Are you ready? So you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him and knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you. And so I'm telling you, it's all based on relationship, fellowship, love flow. That's how you hear. That's how you see. That's how you know and you know her. Okay? It's real clear here. This is what it's about. You must abide in him. Now, to abide means to camp out. It means to pitch a tent over. It means to set up shop. It means to come and stay a while. Now, I'm just announcing you, this is more than your verse of the day. This is more than just saying your little prayer at night. I want to tell you, this is talking about love life, fellowship, relationship. Let me just announce to you, I know that there's places that teach that, you know, you come to Christ or come to church, you got to do this and this, and they got a whole list of things to do in order for you to please God. I'm announcing to you that the main thing, did you hear me say the main thing? The main thing that God has for you is fellowship with him. He wants to hold you close. He wants to get his son or his daughter on his lap. And if you got kiddos, you know what I'm talking about, grandkids. He wants you to be still and come and be with him and let him love on you heart to heart. Now, it's out of that fellowship, that love life fellowship, that you know what? You get clear direction. You get direction. You get assurances. The very things that have been attacking you become weak. In the light of his glory and grace, when you behold him. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot to beholding him. When you look and behold his face, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I wrote a little different part a couple weeks ago because I was loving on the Lord with that. And it's not beyond me to write new songs that I don't make public. Okay. But it went something like this. The ways of the king become extremely clear in the light of his glory and grace. And so he deals with the negative and he supersedes with the positive. That's what the Lord wants to do with you. And listen, this is something that all of us can do. Because it says here, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to enjoy the Lord. That's a good question. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you're enjoying him. I want to tell you, it covers a lot. Relationship, fellowship, flow of the Lord. His anointing teaches you how to do that. And so here's the question right here. You say, well, I haven't been able to. I don't. Look, be still long enough to hear. You may have heard me say this. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for direction. The direction of your heart toward him. There's only been one perfect. You have a great high priest who sympathizes with your weaknesses. But I tell you what he wants to see, your heart toward him. Even when you fall down and get up, your heart toward him. Okay? And when he sees that, I want to tell you, he's all about you. Even if you miss, and your heart's toward God, even if you miss, you can recover when your heart's toward God in a whole lot faster way. You can recover. I'm going to say this, and you don't even have to agree with this. You might just want to write it down and meditate on it. But when your heart is toward God, it's hard to miss. And when you do miss, it's easy to recover. That's how much his grace is all about us. Okay. Here, let me tell you about King David. King David, king of Israel, he was a worshiping warrior. That's where we're to be, because this planet is a battleground. You know that's true. Jesus said, battleground. But I want to tell you, in the midst of this battleground, he's provided victory. And David was a worshiping warrior after God's own heart. Man, I considered for decades, what does it mean to be after God's own heart? Because David wasn't a perfect guy. He blew it in some big time ways. But I want to tell you, the Bible honors him. God honored him because he called him a man after my own heart. What is a man after my own heart? Well, it's a man that even when he falls, gets up and points his heart back toward God, who continues toward the Lord. The Bible says a man may fall seven times, but the Lord bring him up. And I want to tell you, when your heart continues toward the Lord can work with you, and the Lord can deal with you, the Lord can heal you. Let's look at his heartbeat. It's in Psalm 27:4. We see the secret of David. Are you ready for this? Psalm 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord. Hey, somebody say main thing. The one thing. The main thing. Let the main thing be the main thing. Boy, that's a message title. He says, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently, somebody say determined. He was determined. I tell you, heaven shouts when they see a heart determined to seek after the Lord. Insistently require, here it is, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life. I want to stop there a second and say this. That was old covenant language. Let me tell you new covenant language. You don't have to run down here to 709 West Midway to experience the presence of the Lord. New Testament, this is the house. This is the house, my friend. And the Spirit of God dwells in this house. He's always with you, never forsake you, 24/7, and you know the rest of it. And so I'm telling you, He's with you. And I want to tell you, you are a walking worship center. I want to tell you, if you capture this, it'll change the way you operate. When you walk into Wally World, I'm telling you, the very presence of God is walking in Wally World. Because He's in you, and you are there. When you walk into a house, and every house I walk in, and you've heard me say it at your house, I slap the doorpost and say, grace and peace be upon this house. Because that's what Jesus told the disciples to do. And when you release the power of grace and the power of peace on a household, ministry can take place that wasn't there. But see, you have authority over the atmosphere in your household. And so I'm just telling you, this is so exciting. Because this was His requirement, that I would enjoy the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, we get to do that. We have an advantage over David because He's with us. Doesn't just come upon us, He's in us. And I want to tell you what an advantage Jesus said that we have. And so we get to enjoy Him 24/7. And it goes like this, to behold and gaze upon the beauty. Are you getting this? Lord Jesus, help us receive this. When you take time, and I know people talk about time, but let me say, we do those things we value. Come on now. I'm telling you, if you value the Lord, you'll get up early to spend time with Him before everybody else gets you. Hey, value. If you value the Lord, you'll love on Him in your mind all day long. I had a pastor challenge me and say, well, you can't do that. I said, yes, you can. Can you worry all day? He said, yeah. Well, wait. If you can worry all day, because that's the worship of fear. If you can worry all day, you can have your mind on the Lord all day long. I want to tell you, it's very, very powerful. Bible says that as we keep, you keep your mind on Him, and He'll give you perfect peace. That's God's promise. I want to tell you, I'm not saying being perfect about it. I asked somebody challenged me, not too long ago, and it's okay. I'm not offended by it. Well, just how much do you pray? I said, I try not to go more than about 15 minutes. And they said, oh, we beat that. I said, wait. I don't think you understood. I try not to go more than 15 minutes without praying. And you see, prayer can be simply loving on the Lord. You see, how's your love life? I'm just sharing this with you. If you'll capture this today, hey, I want to tell you, it'll change your love life. It'll change your prayer life. Because I'm saying, and some of you have heard me say it, I did a series on this about Jesus kind of praying, but it goes like this. I really believe that 90%, maybe 95% of our prayer life ought to be love life with the Lord. And I want to tell you, when it comes down to that, that other 5% looks easy and small. You'll look at what looked like impossible earlier, and you'll look at it and you'll say, that's just a snack for Jesus. I love saying that, okay. Okay, here we go. Gaze, behold, and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delight of the loveliness. Behold the loveliness of the King, the majesty of the King, and of the Lord. And to meditate, wait a minute. So he's beholding the Lord, see? This is the enjoyment. This is the fellowship, beholding the Lord. And he meditates on God. He considers, that's a good word for meditating, is to chew on, to meditate on. To consume, to digest, and to seek Him, to seek Him, to seek Him. I want to tell you, if you seek Him, the Lord says you'll find Him. Blessed are those that seek and keep on seeking. He will reveal Himself to you. You don't have to have, it don't matter what your bank account or your education or what your success, I don't know. He loves you. One thing he desired. Now, look, this is not just David. I'm telling you, this is the thing. You know, this is what Paul said? Paul said, and this is Philippians, 3:10, he said, the main thing that I have is to know him. And to know him in a greater measure, in a deeper way, to know his love life in deeper and deeper levels. That's what Paul said. So here we are, the one thing he desired. And I want to tell you something. When you delight in the Lord, he will give you his desires for you. Is that beautiful? Is that great? That's what the Lord loves to do. Okay? He does that. And so you may come to the Lord with these frivolous little desires of your wants, but you begin to delight in the Lord, and I want to tell you, he lines up your life with his life, and the next thing you know, you want what he wants, and what he wants becomes a part of your life. He makes it happen. And I want to tell you, his dreams for you are much bigger than your dreams for you. His best. He's got his best in mind for you. And so this is our pursuit also. This is our divine purpose, is to fellowship. I want to tell you, you're here to bring him honor and glory. That's it, to bring him honor and glory. You're here to fulfill his purpose for you, is to bring him honor and glory, to fellowship with him, to have love life with him. And when that happens, it's amazing what else he lines up for your life. He puts things in order. He does for you what you couldn't do. I'm telling you, the Trinity is in unity for Father's will to take place in your life. All right? Listen at this. It's Father's will. It's Jesus' word. It's Jesus' works through the Holy Spirit. And so all three of them are in agreement for his will to manifest and take place into your life. They're all waiting on us to agree. To agree with it. Heaven's waiting on us. The people that say, well, I'm just waiting on God to finally do something. No, you got it wrong. Heaven's waiting on us to submit, to seek, and to receive what he's already provided. Okay, let's start with Ephesians. All right? Man, I'm telling you. Okay, let's go. Ephesians 3:13. So I ask you not to lose heart. Now, I want to tell you, that's easy to do because we're bombarded. Okay? I want to tell you, we're bombarded. I'm just going to announce to you, I don't mean no harm by it. I'm trying to help you and give you life. But what I'm saying to you is that whatever your emotion that you're parked at, that's what you've been thinking on. It started out with a thought. Those thoughts came. And when the thoughts came and you held on to those thoughts, emotions rose up. Okay? When emotions rise up like that, that's what develops attitudes in life. And attitudes bring about actions. Are you with me? I'm just trying to explain this to you. But I'm telling you, you can control what's happening between the eras right here. You're responsible. Okay? Now, I know that, and you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, that birds can come and land on your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest. Amen? And so God gives you recognition. The Holy Spirit helps you. Okay, that's a lie. That thought's a lie. That thought's anti-God. That thought's anti-family. That thought's anti. And so you submit that thought to the Lord. And it's not a wrestling match for you. I'm going to give you a little insight here. It's not the wrestling match of wrestling your thoughts. You try to do that and you'll lose. But I'll tell you what happens when you surrender that thought to the obedience of Jesus. See, if it's not your obedience to win the wrestling match, it's your obedience to submit that thought to the obedience that Jesus did on the cross for you. Do you catch that? I want to tell you that sounds simple, but when you practice that, then I want to tell you it's the Lord's victory. It's the Lord's work on the cross that you're leaning on. It's his victory that he won for you. And I want to tell you, and then you back it up by confessing the confessions of a new creation. Something like this, like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I may feel like I need to be flushed. but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, you stay there, you be still long enough, focusing on the Lord, letting the Lord love on you until hope and faith rise up in your heart. What happens with a lot of Christians is that they'll say, well, I just resist that and I don't want that. But they don't stay there long enough to receive. They just take a swing at it and take off running. And then they'll say, it didn't work for me. No. The Lord works. We need to practice being still and recognizing the Lord. See, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to a generation right now that don't like quietness. Can't hardly stand it. Got to have something in the background all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I want to tell you, when you practice being still before the Lord and recognizing Him, don't you dare just empty your mind. That's the way the world, you know, copies meditation, but that's dangerous. You know, you don't empty your mind. Yeah, what you do is you put your mind on Christ. That's life. And He'll minister life to you. And when you put your mind on Christ, see, He brings you strength. He manifests His love in you. And so I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint, or become despondent through fear. If you have thoughts anywhere connected to fear, those negative, worrisome, discouraging thoughts, if you park with those thoughts, you're going to have an attitude of discouragement. And you're going to find yourself losing heart and fainting. So what do? When you start to faint, you know what we tell people? Hey, sit down now. Sit down. Just sit down. No, don't go drive. Sit down. And that's what we're telling you spiritually. You sit down. You be still. Hey, Psalm 91:1. You practice His presence. Okay? You camp out. You dwell. And you stay there until you receive. Practice thanksgiving. Practice letting the Lord love on you. Practice loving on Him until you receive. You say, well, I'm kind of faint. You know what? You need to lean on somebody. Isn't that what we say? I'll never forget. The wife don't want me to describe it, so I won't. But there was a night that she wasn't feeling too good, and we had to have the choo-choo train. You know the choo-choo train? Is that I was the engine, and she put her arms up here on top, and we choo-chooed to where we needed to go. And I want to tell you, that's what Jesus wants to do with you. You start feeling faint, don't stay there. Run upon the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. And practice being still and wrap your arms around Him and let Him be the choo-choo. He'll get you from where you are to where you need to be. Somebody, let the church say amen. And so this is recognizing them, receiving them, responding to them by faith. We speak it. I want to tell you, if you start speaking your fears, the enemy knows he's got something going on. It's just like saying, sick him to the devil. I want to tell you, he don't know everything. He's not all-knowing. God is. He's not. But when you're sitting there saying, I'm scared, I'm sick, I'm a mess, I'm going apart, he goes, sick him. But even when you are resting in the Lord and you're feeling faint, when you begin to confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in Jesus. There's a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all I ask or think. I'm loved by the Father. I'm loved by the Son. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have the peace and joy and love of Jesus flowing through me. Hey, the enemy says, uh-oh, lost that one. Let's go somewhere else. Because what he hears is word of God coming out of your mouth. He's allergic to it. I hope you caught that. I want to tell you, see, this is what we got to do. If you're in a bad position, it means the screen in your heart, the big screen in your heart, has got the wrong channel on it. You see, you have a chooser. You have a channel changer. God gave you a chooser. You can go to the Word of God. You can go to prayer. You can go to praise. You can go to thanksgiving. You can call up a brother for prayer. Amen. You can seek the Lord. And I want to tell you something. You can change the channel from being despondent to a Jesus channel on the inside of your heart. And when you do that, you know, at first it may be the picture in a picture. You know those smart TVs where you got the big screen and then you got a little screen down here in the corner? Okay, or it may be a little commercial waving at you. I've seen them do that. Well, I don't like that. But the deal is that this is what happens when you run to the love channel. Run to the love of the Lord. I dare you, I double dare you to stop and be still, put your mind on Christ, and ask the Lord, would you come remind me how much you love me? I'm telling you, the picture in a picture. The big screen goes to Jesus. There's the little picture there. But I want to tell you, soon and very soon, the Lord will show you. Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He shows you His picture for your victory and what your victory really looks like. And you need to know. You say, well, I don't know where to go from here. Well, that's why we seek the Lord. Because I want to tell you, He'll love on you and minister to you, and hope will rise up. And you know what hope is? It's the expectation of God's goodness coming to your life. And I want to tell you, when you let the Lord love on you, guess what? Hope rises up. And He'll show you a picture. It may be your marriage, what your marriage, what He sees your marriage looks like. You need to know that from the Lord. It may be your health. You need to see a picture from the Lord of what your health looks like from Him. And you need to identify with it. You need to agree with it. And you need to speak it. And when you do, I want to tell you, the very resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is manifesting in your life. May not be immediately, but I'll tell you, it's happening. You may just see the progress of it, because we celebrate progress. It may be just 30-fold. And I want to tell you, 30-fold is a whole lot better than where you were. And so we celebrate progress, and we continue to seek. We continue to pursue the Lord. We continue to practice receiving the Lord. The next thing you know, it may be 60-fold. 30, 60, what's next? 100-fold. Because that's what restoration looks like. And the Lord loves to do that work in us. Okay, so it's very, very important that we focus on the supply and not the lack. The whole world's programmed to tell you what you don't have or what's going to happen to you next. Doctors are trained, and we love doctors. We bless doctors in the name of Jesus. But I want to tell you, they're programmed and they're trained to give you the worst case scenario. There's reasons for that. Okay? But I want to tell you, you can't let a doctor's report be the last word. You have to get on the picture of your heart. You need the Lord to give you the picture of what your health and healing looks like. And you need to go with what Dr. Jesus says. You let the earthly doctors be a help, and they're helpers, but I want to tell you, Jesus is your healer. Hey, whether it's your marriage, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your emotions, whether it's in your mind, I'm going to tell you this little story, and I got to stop, and we will most likely finish this next week. Because we made it to Ephesians, and that's the most important part here, what we're going to cover next. I would pay you to be here next week. It's that important. I'm going to tell you this little story. This is a true story. There's people here that would still remember. There was a little lady that came to our church years ago, a church that I was at, and I was a youth pastor, counselor, and this little lady made it through all the pastors on staff, and I'll be honest with you, she is a mess. She really was a mess. She couldn't function. She couldn't work. She couldn't hold a job. She couldn't even communicate with people because she was talking all the time. And stuff coming out of her mouth did not make sense. But she couldn't even focus on you. I mean, she was in a dangerous place. And made it through all the pastors came to me. Of course, I didn't know. I just said, Lord, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? And you know what He gave me? The very thing I shared with you a little earlier about the confessions of a new creation. I was using it with teenagers. And I handed her these confessions and taught her how to go through this every day and just confess the Word of God out loud and to meditate on what He was saying, let the Holy Spirit speak to her. And let this be like medicine, to take it like 3 times a day. And anytime she was experiencing trouble, she said, I have trouble all the time. I said, do it all the time. Well, I want to tell you, you tell people that she did it. There's a difference when you practice it. She did it. She took those little confessions of a new creation, and she began to repeat them. She began to confess them out loud. She began to fill her mind full of them. She began to listen to the Lord about it. And I want to tell you, within just a week or two, she was amazingly different. I want to tell you, it was the 30, 60, 100-fold progress. But within a number of weeks, she was a completely different person. Not only was she could she function, not only did she have an amazing brain that nobody knew, and not only did she have an amazing personality that nobody knew, but she was free. And I want to tell you, she testified in front of the church how the Word of God set her free. And I want to tell you how the Holy Spirit spoke to her. It would highlight one of the scriptures. That's what He'll do. He'll highlight one of those scriptures and say, "This is for you." And then she turned around and said, "And you know, what He speaks and highlights to me, I share with other people." Does that sound like kingdom to you? Well, I'll tell you what, in a few weeks later, a month or two later, we lost touch with her. She moved to another part of the country. And it was a year later, a little over a year later, I had a day off. And I was walking through the living room, and the 700 Club was on TV. And when I walked through the room and saw that was her. I recognized her voice before I looked. I said, "That sounds familiar." And I stopped and looked, and it was the same woman that a year ago couldn't function. And she's on the 700 Club declaring how God gave her a decorating ministry, and she decorates homes for the honor and glory of God. And she's talking with such amazing testimony and clarity and such joy and such peace. And the host asked her, "How did you get here?" And she said, "A pastor showed me the power of confessing the Word of God, giving allegiance to the Word of God, and letting the Holy Spirit picture His Word in my heart." I want to tell you, you know as well as I do, that wasn't any pastor, that was Jesus. And you know, that's the power of the Word of God. That's for you. He loves to take His Word. He loves to take His Spirit. And He loves to magnify and multiply the kingdom in your life. He is your victory. You don't have to know how to get from point A to point Z. All you need to know is the next step. Are you with me? And when we follow Him step by step, He gives us direction. He gives us confirmation. He gives us ministry. That's what the Lord wants to do in your life. Let me announce to you, there's not anything that the enemy has stolen that the Lord can't restore to better. We, by the works of the cross, the finished works, can take back anything that the enemy has stolen. He said in John 10:10, Jesus said, "The enemy has come." Don't you blame it on God. Don't you dare blame it on God. There's an enemy on this earth that hates you, that wants to destroy you. Jesus said it. He said, "There's a thief. There's an enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy your life." But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the overflow, have it to the abundance." That's the type of life that Jesus gives. And He wants to do that through the power of His Spirit, the power of the Word of God. It's a 1-2 punch to multiply the kingdom in your life. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You so much for Your love life. Thank You that You paid the price on the cross for all of us to be forgiven. Lord, we just speak right now that everyone who's never received, we'll pray right now. Lord Jesus, I receive Your forgiveness. Thank You for forgiveness of my sins. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You that You've come to set me free. Lord, I surrender my life to You. And I confess that You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my God. I trust in You. Thank You that You suffered on the cross for my victory. And I yield myself to You and say yes to You as a way of life. And all the people said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Hallelujah and amen.